Good morning. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church in Elkview, West Virginia. We're doing things a little differently this morning. Brother Ronnie and his family are all sick. I joke and said they're all under federal quarantine this morning, but they're all sick. Ronnie asked me to fill in. Found out yesterday I'd be filling in, so I got something that's a little shorter than normal, but that's okay. I'm just being prayer for Ronnie and all the kids. I know the kids have been sick for some time. But my message today, it's called the endless search for a panacea. You're like, what does that word mean? Panacea. The endless search for a panacea. Well, that word panacea is a supposed cure-all. A cure-all for all the difficulties in life. It's a supposed remedy for all our diseases and all our problems and all that ails us. So the title today is The Endless Search for a Panacea. You know, today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of John. For those of you following along, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, these are the words of Jesus. And these are shown in red letters for those of you who have the red letter editions. And as you follow along, I'll be reading John chapter 10 beginning in verse 1. I'm reading through the New International Version. John chapter 10 beginning in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we open up your holy word today, God, it's our desire that we teach it properly, that we understand the original intent of these words and the words of Jesus. And Father, we're thankful that you have them recorded for us thousands of years later. God, I pray that you guide me as I teach this morning. In Jesus' name. So a question I'm going to ask repeatedly today is, whose voice are we listening to? Whose voice, for all the folks watching online, whose voice are you listening to? Who gets our ears? And a little more complicated question is, who gets our free time? You know, I watch a lot of what I call news broadcasting. In fact, I call myself a bit of a news junkie. I watch news. I watch a lot of educational documentaries and some sports programming, not as much as I used to, but I usually watch through either television or through streaming media on a device such as a tablet. And while I'm watching these programs, I've noticed that they're often interrupted by a particular type of commercial advertisement, one that is popular here in the USA, but it's not even available in most of the rest of the world. And the kind of commercials I'm talking about are for prescription medications. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. In a moment, I'm going to give you an example of what these pharmaceutical commercials typically look like. But did you know there are only two countries in the world that permit these drug manufacturers to advertise their products directly to the public? Only the United States and New Zealand. Those are the only two countries that will permit Big Pharma to broadcast commercials in order to sell their product, their medications. You know, on a side note, I found it interesting that our government agency, our beloved FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA does not review these drug commercials prior to them being broadcast over our airwaves. And what does that mean? Well, that means that the FDA essentially lets these pharmaceutical manufacturers decide for themselves whether their own advertisements are both accurate and in full compliance with our laws. You know, the phrase that comes to mind is, the inmates are running the asylum. And I said, well, hold on. Before anybody says anything, I concede that comment might be perceived as disrespectful to the true inmates of our mental hospitals. But anyway, as I watch my broadcasting, whether it's on YouTube or whatever it is, as I'm forced to watch 60 seconds of yet another pharmaceutical advertisement, It seems to me that they all look the same. All these commercials look the same. Every one of these advertisements looks identical. They always start with some middle-aged person. It's always some old guy or old woman. Some middle-aged person who's struggling to cope with life's tragedies. And whether it's battling chronic pain or dealing with stress or simply facing the fact that none of us is getting any younger, these kinds of afflictions can dismantle a person's will to live and convert the normal daily challenges into a bit of a grinder. And then suddenly it appears the solution to all your problems. The clouds disappear, the sun starts shining, cue the organ music. The person who was struggling is now smiling, now happy, now doing all the things that they used to do. All in slow motion, of course, for full dramatic effect. And as the narrator embellishes the viewer with all of the supposed magical effects of this new drug, we watch the same person getting back their life, getting back their will to live, getting back what had been taken from them. Who knew that all that took to be happy in life was one new medication? Pharmaceutical companies know that these drug advertisements do strike a chord with ordinary people. These commercials work. After all, we all know life can be difficult at times, especially as we grow older and less capable over time. The zeal that we used to portray in life so freely has been replaced with depression. Our activity has been replaced with inactivity, and our get up and go must have got up and went, as the old song goes. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just maybe go back in time to that one place, that one time in our lives when we were truly happy? Wouldn't that be amazing? Drug companies know that people, ordinary people, are yearning for something different, something better, something attainable, something permanent. They're manipulating their audience into believing that a cure-all, a panacea, is not only realistic, but it's also immediately available by prescription. We've got the solution to all your problems. Ask your doctor about our new pills. And ignore all those negative side effects. You know, we're going to gloss over those side effects at high speed while you watch this person miraculously reach a state of true happiness. In other words, listen to the voice at the beginning of the commercial and not that lawyer guy, you know, at the end of the commercial. He's just trying to limit our legal liability. So let me ask you again, whose voice are we listening to? You know, the truth is these pharmaceutical advertisements are fully effective. Drug companies make billions of dollars a year despite all the class action lawsuits filed where their drugs have actually harmed people instead of hurting them. Drug companies turn big profits despite the fact that the vast majority of medications never actually make it to market. Drug companies continue to thrive despite overwhelming evidence that the desired results of taking the drug never really align with those glowing advertisements that we see on TV. But the reality is people are committed to the endless search for a panacea, the endless search for a cure-all. They're constantly looking for the cure-all. And drug companies are simply playing on those desires and lining their pockets in the process. I would say there indeed are many physical reasons why we struggle in life. We are spirit on the inside, but we are flesh and bone on the outside. Jesus famously told Peter in Matthew 26:41, he told Peter that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our physical bodies are susceptible to many, many difficult problems. I mean, just look at our prayer list, the kind of things we pray for. Our flesh and bone is susceptible to disease, susceptible to physical damage such as an automobile accident, susceptible to aging, susceptible to clinical depression. Our exterior is vulnerable in lots of ways. But there's also a spiritual reason why we struggle in life, in addition to all the physical risks that surround us. Jesus describes a spiritual warfare that's ongoing, where a sinister enemy is actively seeking to hurt us. I'm going to read those same six verses as before, but I'm going to continue past the point where I stopped a minute ago. I want you to listen as Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd and to us as the sheep. A little bit of an analogy. And listen how the sheep responds to the right voice. So can we go back to John chapter 10? John 10 verse 1. Words of Jesus. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. And as we continue in verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Continuing in verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I must say, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the main point, the main purpose of this passage is that there is a true shepherd, a true Messiah, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd, and Jesus draws a stark contrast between himself and the false shepherds who are leading the people away from God. And this contrast continues as Jesus defines his own appointment. He was appointed to this position from none other than from God the Father. Jesus is Savior as he willingly lays down his life for the sheep. And he is King also by divine appointment from the Father. Our spiritual security lies with Jesus and Jesus alone. On the other hand, the religious leaders of the day of Jesus' time, they were nothing like Jesus. They were self-appointed. They were self-righteous. And they were self-centered. On the outside, they acted as if they'd been sent directly from God. But in reality, they were padding their wallets, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know, the phrase that we heard Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5. But when we come back to this analogy of the sheep and the shepherd, Jesus tells us that there's a reason why the hired hand, the hireling, there's a reason why he runs away at the first sign of danger. It's not because he's underpaid. It's not because he's been disrespected by his co-workers or his boss. It's not because he's on a union strike, you know, trying to battle for better benefits. No. He runs away because he doesn't care about the sheep. A hired hand could not care less if something disastrous happened to the sheep. And then Jesus describes a different person. Jesus says there's a thief. The thief is the one who comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So while this might seem to add fuel to the fire, so to speak, part of the reason that we struggle in life is because we face a spiritual enemy whose goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Spiritual warfare rages all around us. The Bible talks a lot about this spiritual warfare. Although it is invisible to our five senses, it's all around us. We have a very real enemy who, given the opportunity, would instantly destroy all of God's people if he were not held back by the hand of God. But look at the incredible difference. The incredible difference between this evil enemy who wants to hurt us and our God. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. He is protector. Jesus is leader. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is intimate with His people. He calls them by name. And by His own words, He has come so that we may what? That we may have life and have it to the full. Remember that phrase. I'm just going to say it. People everywhere are endlessly and tirelessly searching for a panacea. They're looking for a cure-all. They're hoping that it comes in the form of a pill, something easy. They don't have to change their lives. They don't have to change their behavior. They don't have to do anything different other than pop a pill. They're looking for hope, looking for purpose, looking for healing, looking to retrieve what they've lost. But as the old song goes, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. True happiness does not come in the form of a pill. True contentment and true joy come from being right with a holy God. And there's only one way to be right with God the Father. And that's through the sacrifice made by Jesus, God the Son. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the story of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We turn from our sins. We repent of our sins. We receive the free gift of salvation through His blood. That's the only way to have our sins forgiven and to be made right by God. Turning to God in repentance and faith results in us having eternal benefits, truly eternal benefits, eternal life with God in heaven. Receiving God's gift of salvation from your sins is unquestionably the greatest decision you will ever make. And if there's anyone here watching me online and you've never turned to God for salvation, today is the day. You do not know what tomorrow will hold. You do not know how many more days that you have been granted in this life. Do not put it off another day. Turn to God today. Turn to Him in faith and repentance today. You can know that you are saved today. Do it today. Receiving salvation from your sins is unquestionably the greatest decision you'll ever make. And while that salvation comes with a truly infinite magnitude, there's actually more to it than that. What? More than that? More than eternal life? Yes. Yes. Think about these questions in life. Do we Christians have our eternal security tied directly to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I think we'd all say, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Do we have our life's purpose, our life's meaning, our destiny defined not by what we do, not by our decisions, but by the God who created us? I think every believer would say, yeah, certainly, absolutely. Do we have a hope and a future because of what Jesus has done? Yes. Yeah, absolutely, yes. Then why do we allow ourselves to be defeated? Why do we allow ourselves to be defeated at every turn? What was the last phrase I asked you to remember? Jesus said, I have come that they, talking about us, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus provides the only means of having life to the fullest. And the devil knows this truth. Our adversary, the devil, knows that healing and restoration is available for all humans who turn to Jesus. And that's the last thing he wants. The one who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy wants you to live a life of isolation and depression. The devil wants all born-again Christians to live as if they've been completely defeated. The enemy wants us to chase after false solutions to our problems. And believe me, there are a lot of them out there, not just the pharmaceutical type, as we discussed. This world is full of snake oil salesmen looking to make a buck off of your infirmities. Writers make billions of dollars with self-help books. Well, I've got news for those self-help book authors. Self-help doesn't solve spiritual problems. Think about this. If self is the problem, then self cannot be the solution. We need someone outside of ourselves, and that person is Jesus. But the world continues to offer fake solutions that never, never offer any real peace. And the devil is giddy anytime a child of God searches for answers anywhere else but God. Once again, whose voice are you listening to? You know, once again, I want to share some of the worldly wisdom that we hear frequently and then compare that to what the Bible tells us. How many times have we been told that we should follow our hearts? Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The solution is not to follow our heart, but to follow Jesus. How many times have you just been told to just believe in yourself? When has that ever solved the greatest crisis in your life? No, your purpose is not to believe in yourself, but rather to believe in someone bigger than yourself. And again, that person is Jesus. How many times have we been told that you just need to believe in something? It doesn't matter what it is, just believe in something. The answer is no. We need to believe in the one true God. We can't save other people, much less save ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. We must trust Him to do what we cannot do. And if you'll allow me to copy a few comments from a pastor that I follow on Instagram, his name is Pastor Shane Pruitt. I think he's still a youth pastor. He's been doing youth ministry for some time, and he posts some really, really good guidance information for young people. I follow him, and he posted that when the new year rolled around, some comments that I thought I'd share with you. He says, the year may be 2025, it may be a new year, but truth is still truth. Amen. The Bible is still the Word of God. Amen. Sin still destroys lives. Jesus is still the only one who saves. Heaven and hell are still very real places. Evangelism for the lost is still effective. Discipleship is still the call on our lives. The Holy Spirit still empowers us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still the greatest need that people have. And then a few more specific to our God. God is still good, even when I don't understand. God is still faithful, even when things don't make sense. God still has a plan, even when I don't see it. God still reigns, even when the world looks like chaos. God is still near, even when I can't feel Him. God is still God. Amen. We might just be a few weeks into a new year, and there's a lot of changes happening in our world. We've had a change in government. We've had a lot of things changing in our lives recently, but these eternal truths still hold today. Whose voice are you listening to? Are you looking for alternate solutions to your problems? Or are you turning to the one who created you, the one who redeemed you, the one who called you, the one who justified you? Are you looking for a cure-all? Or are you trusting in the God who loves you more than you could possibly imagine? As we close here today, in Matthew 16, 24, Jesus gave His disciples some very clear directions in life. He didn't say, believe in yourself. No, Jesus told them, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Me. Are you following Jesus today? Are you listening to the voice of Jesus today? I pray that you are. Let's close. Father, we thank You for this message from the words of Jesus, Father. We thank You that there is a good shepherd who loves us, protects us, guides us, leads us, lays down His life for the sheep, God. Lord, we are so grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made. Not only, Father, for salvation, not only for eternal life, but God, we have a Savior who wants us to live life to the fullest, God. Knowing these truths, God, being reminded gives us a hope, Father, gives us a hope in the future. And God, that has benefit not when we're 90 years old. It has benefit today and every single day of our lives. No matter what, God, You are with us. No matter what, You have secured our salvation. No matter what, we win in the end, God. We will be with You forever. And God, may these truths help us when we're feeling depressed, God, when we're feeling down, when we're dealing with chronic pain, when we're battling a broken bone, when we're battling a disease, God, and the world seems dark and everything starts spinning around us, God. Remind us of these truths. Remind us that You're right here with us, God, and that You've got it. You are in control, God, and we honor You, and we say thank You, God, for loving us. God, when we fail You, You never fail us, and You love us, God, even when we're not loving You. Thank You, God, for all that you are and all that You're doing. We look forward in anticipation to what You will do next. Thank You, Lord. We praise You in Jesus' wonderful name.